Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I try to be a happy guy each and every day, but let me just tell you this. I am a very happy guy on this Monday because a couple of the things that I love more than anything else about this time of year, they've kind of all come together right here at once. Some of you even reached out to me on Twitter about this. Those college football preseason magazines that, you know, if you're young, you know, like in your 20s, you don't even know what I'm talking about here. But for those of you who are kind of like, you know, 40 and around my age, who kind of came of age sort of pre-internet, the College Football Preview magazine used to be the great way to kind of get the college football season started. They still put them out on newsstands. I, for one, am glad they do because I buy all of them. I bought four of them on Saturday. Looking forward to reading those over the course of the next couple of weeks and talking to you a lot about that kind of stuff here on Dog Nation Daily. But that's not the only really fun preseason content we have out here on this Monday. Las Vegas, in particular, the sports book run by CG Technology, has come out for its over-under season win totals for the upcoming season. CG Technology runs like the South Point Casino. For a little context here, that's the sports book that Brent Musburger's connected with. He left the SEC Network and ESPN, and he went to work in Las Vegas. This is the group that he's working with, the ones who've released these over-unders here for this season. And listen, I realize that a lot of you don't necessarily bet on college football games. You don't have to bet on college football games to find this interesting. The reason why over-under season win totals are interesting is because this is what an expert who is forced to put his money where his mouth is thinks that college football is heading for this upcoming season. And an over-under is simply a number of potential wins, and bettors have to decide if they think their team is going to win more or less games than that this season. Doesn't include postseason, doesn't include conference championships, doesn't include anything other than the regularly scheduled 12 regular season games. And in Georgia's case in particular, I think there's an interesting conversation to be had here. Because for those of you, and I hear from you all the time on this point, but for those of you who are kind of looking to see Georgia sneak up on somebody for a change, not be the offseason darling, not be overhyped, if the media is doing that, I'm here to tell you that Las Vegas is kind of not. If you're a Georgia fan, you're looking for a chance to see Georgia sneak up on somebody this year. Maybe Georgia's going to be able to sneak up on Las Vegas here in 2017 because CG Technology, the sports book that released over-unders over the weekend, they set Georgia's total for this season at only 8. And I have to tell you, I think 8 as an over-under total for Georgia is frankly way too low. And if you're not a Georgia fan and you're listening in on this show today, or maybe even some Georgia fans think, what else would the podcast host of Dog Nation Daily say other than Las Vegas doesn't realize how good Georgia is? Las Vegas, is underrating UGA. That's exactly what a non-Georgia fan would expect the podcast host of a Georgia podcast to say. And you can, you know, say that if you want. We've certainly expressed on this show over the last few weeks, last couple months, some reasons for skepticism for Georgia here in this upcoming season. But that doesn't mean that I expect Georgia to win 8 games. The fact of the matter is, I think Georgia is going to win more than 8 games this season, and betting the over of 8 for Georgia in Las Vegas, to me at least, feels like a pretty safe bet. And there are really a few reasons why I think the over-under total set at 8 is too low for the Georgia Bulldogs. First of all, in college football, more so than the NFL, or maybe even more so than other sports, the past is a pretty good predictor of what's going to happen in the future, especially the last 5 years. And for Georgia, in 4 of the last 6 years, Georgia has won 8 or more regular season games. So the number that Vegas has set for Georgia this season, Georgia has gone over that number with regularity over the last half decade, or a little more than the last half decade. And you'll push back and say, but yeah, that was with Mark Richt for most of those years. Georgia has a coaching change now. Kirby Smart's going into a second season. Well, you can look at all the mountain of data produced by college football and these kinds of things, coaching changes, player changes, they actually don't affect the season win total as much as you might imagine. And for Georgia, who has historically and consistently produced more than 8 wins, I think it's reasonable to expect the same thing to happen here in 2017. Plus, here's the other thing. While Vegas may only view Georgia as an 8-win team, might win 7, might win 9, but likely an 8-win team, that flies in the face of what most of the national media has been saying about the Georgia Bulldogs. Go back to the winter when some of these way too early top 25 started coming out. Georgia has been ranked in every single one of them, as high as number 13 in the ESPN ranking, as high as number 10 in the Sporting News ranking. The lowest I've seen Georgia ranked in any of these polls is probably 18th, and I want to say either Fox Sports or CBS had Georgia down there in that sort of 18 number, but still solidly in the top 20. And if Georgia's going to be a top 20 team, a top even 15 team, then this is a team in the regular season that's going to win more than 8 regular season games. Now, of course, there's a chance that Vegas is right and the national media who are compiling these polls are wrong, but I think it's important to note that there's been a fairly unanimous consensus about Georgia as being a top 20 team, and that consensus at least is something that ought to give some Georgia fans here comfort on this day. Plus, I'll use Vegas against itself here for a moment. Vegas may have Georgia as just an 8-win season win total that you can bet either over or under on. But when you start projecting ahead to those individual games, how many of them do you expect Georgia to be an underdog in, more likely to lose than win? As of right now, the only game that Georgia's a surefire underdog in will probably be the road trip to Auburn in November. Now, Georgia could be a slight dog versus Notre Dame, could be a slight dog versus Tennessee, but on paper, it's the game against Auburn that by far looks like the most challenging game for Georgia here in 2017, and the only one that's obviously going to pit Georgia as an underdog, at least based on how we view things in the summer. And as far as that Georgia schedule goes for the Dogs this season, when my partner on SEC Country Live, Mike Johnson, joined us on Dog Nation Daily last week, he expressed a similar sentiment. He thinks the Georgia schedule is the kind of schedule that potentially sets up UGA for success this season. Here's how Mike said it on Thursday.
I think it seems pretty manageable. On paper, when you look at it at first glance, you see Notre Dame. Oh, man, that could be a tough game. Listen, this is not the Notre Dame that you've seen in the past. I know that they're probably an improved team this year, but they're a team that really, really struggled last year under Brian Kelly. Now, I think Auburn's going to be a tough task. You mentioned it being a road game, but Georgia's home schedule really shapes up to be something that they can really manage and really run away with in the end, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that, listen, just because Mike says that doesn't mean it's right, but the fact that Mike is that confident about the Georgia schedule is the kind of things that I do think should give some Georgia fans confidence about, you know, UGA here in 2017 maybe exceeding and quite possibly exceeding the over-under total that's been set by CG Technology out in Las Vegas. Let me let you hear a little more from Mike, though, because while Mike believes that the Georgia schedule, to use his phrase, is pretty manageable and it sets up well for UGA, he does point out what we've been saying here and on this show for quite some time, that while the schedule may be manageable, the game that matters more than any other is the one we've been talking about. Here's Mike once again.
Florida and Jacksonville, to me, is going to tell the tale of Georgia's football season this year, and they're going to have to win that game. And Jacob Eason's going to have to outplay whoever the quarterback is down there at Florida in order for them to kind of shape up in that aspect. But I think it's manageable, something you feel like they can run away with in the end and be really successful when November and December roll around.
I think Mike brings up a really interesting point there. He mentions the name Jacob Eason as the guy that will be crucial in getting the Dogs that victory over Florida, especially given the fact that Florida, in all likelihood, is going to be playing an inexperienced quarterback, especially if Malik Zaire doesn't transfer in and they're forced to start Felipe Franks. I think that's a really interesting point. And the experience that Georgia's going to have at quarterback not only potentially gives the Dogs an advantage against Florida, but also potentially against Tennessee. It'll be starting, you know, a first-time starter as well, at least halfway through his first year starting. And when Georgia plays Notre Dame, Brandon Wimbush, the expected starter there, he'll also be a new guy, which does put more pressure on Jacob Eason this season. In a roundabout way, maybe that's what Las Vegas is trying to tell you, that Vegas saw Jacob Eason play for a full year as a freshman, and maybe they just didn't think he was that good. But what people have not seen from Eason, though, is the work going on behind the scenes this offseason. In the film room, maybe pushed to be there because of Jake Fromm's presence, or maybe motivated to show people that he's better than the performance of his freshman season. Whatever the reason, maybe that's been going on with Jacob Eason. And maybe Eason really is better to be a better quarterback in his sophomore season. If that is true, then the bottom line for me is simply this. I think Las Vegas is wrong about Georgia. Vegas thinks that Georgia is likely to win 8 games. I think the safe money and the smart bets on more wins than that. But for Georgia to climb a high and ahead of that total, win 9-10 games here during this regular season, then the one we've had circled for a while still matters more than any other. Beating Florida and Jacksonville, a crucial win for Georgia, not just in terms of its position in the SEC East, but making good on the expectations that so many have for the Dogs here during the offseason. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us on the radio today at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev. on Facebook Live each and every morning at 10 a.m. Glad to have you with us on video. Or if you listen to us in podcast form at dognation.com, we post the show each and every afternoon. Also on iTunes as well, SoundCloud, pretty much wherever podcasts are found, you can find Dog Nation Daily. We're glad to have you with us. Mentioned the Notre Dame game a moment ago. Of course, we're also getting ready for the Dog Nation Invasion to South Bend this September for the big one there. And, of course, one of our great sponsors for that is Larceny Bourbon. Larceny Bourbon's a 92-proof, weeded, small-batch bourbon made from 200 barrels or less that are hand-selected by their master distillers from the finest barrels in the rickhouse. Unlock the smoothness today at LarcenyBourbon.com. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Of course, they are one of our sponsors for the Dog Nation Invasion to South Bend. While I have your attention, let me also tell you that there's just 158 days away from Georgia, Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville this October. We think good Georgia fans are Gator haters first and foremost, and we show that by going to ShopDogNation.com and getting our Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirts. We love the shirts. They got the Dog Nation Daily podcast logo on the sleeve, Gator Hater license plate on the front. At ShopDogNation.com, you can get free shipping. We're also restocking the size with regularity, so if you miss your size, let me know. We'll make sure we get it back in there for you so you can get your very own Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirt. All right, coming up in just a moment, a really fun conversation today with former Georgia linebacker Rennie Curran. We'll talk some football with him, but we'll also hear his inspiring story, the promise that he made to his mother to graduate from college, coming good here just a few weeks ago, and Rennie tells his own story very well, so we'll look forward to hearing that from Rennie Curran here in just a moment. All right, want to get ready to welcome in former Georgia linebacker Rennie Curran here to Dog Nation Daily, and you're going to really love this conversation. Rennie, first of all, and in the comment section on Facebook Live, people have already been saying this. Rennie was a very good player at Georgia, and not just a good player, but the kind of guy that fans really love because, as it was described in the comment section on Facebook Live a moment ago, a guy who played with a lot of determination and a lot of heart. And Rennie took that determination heart with him into the NFL, but he's also been displaying that with his post-football career as well. You may have seen the story. It's been kind of all over the media over the last couple of weeks. We've been trying to catch up with him here on Dog Nation Daily. Finally got a chance to do that today. When Rennie moved on to the NFL after his junior season, made a promise to his mother that he would at some point in time come back to UGA and finish his degree. When I say promise, I don't just mean, hey, Mom, I'll do this. She forced him to sign a contract to say that's exactly what he would do. Well, sure enough, after years of work and study, Rennie Curran got that done. He got his degree from the University of Georgia. And here on Dog Nation Daily today, he'll tell that story, what that meant to him. And I tell you, I found this inspiring. It was a conversation we've already had. I think you'll find it inspiring as well. He also has some interesting thoughts about UGA football, too. So glad to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you enjoy Rennie Curran right now. It's great to have Rennie Curran back here on Dog Nation Daily, especially on a day like this where Rennie's got a great story to tell and great story to talk about. Rennie, first of all, let me say welcome back to the program. How are you doing today?
Doing great, man. Always glad to be on with you guys. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing really well, too, and we appreciate it. And in particular today, you know, we'll talk about some of the football stuff in a minute, but I think so many people have been inspired by the story that's come out with you over the last few weeks about, you know, the promise that you made to your mom to go back and get that degree from the University of Georgia after you left early to go try your hand at the NFL. And this spring, that all comes to a culmination. You do get that degree from the University of Georgia. So I got to ask you a very simple and easy question here off the top. What did it feel like to make good on that promise and to really do what your mom had challenged you to do? What did that feel like?
Man, it felt amazing. For me, it was just really summed up kind of what my career was about. And that was just resilient, you know, getting back up after falling down and just perseverance, all those things that helped make me a great linebacker. I kind of used those same tools to help me get through finishing my degree, man, so to actually go through it and just to have those many moments where I felt like giving up and then imagining what that feeling would be like walking across that stage and that coming to reality. Seeing my mom be proud, man, it was the best feeling in the world. It felt like draft day again.
Yeah.
So it was just awesome to make it happen because, like I said, it was a journey, man. It was not easy. 7 years, you know, playing during the season, then going back to Athens and sitting back in the classroom. It took a lot of humility and a lot of courage and just a lot of determination, man. So I feel like it's great feeling, but also it represents a lot, you know, for all those people out there who are trying to do something. And it's tough. They got a million things going on, but they have a dream that's of something they want to accomplish, man. really think it's going to be, just a good representation of what you can do when you put your mind to anything.
One of my favorite aspects of your story was you were at the UGA bookstore, and that's a place that we know well. We do a lot of broadcasts from there. But you're there at the UGA bookstore, and you buy the frame for the diploma, and it kind of comes with like a replica diploma already in it and also a photo of the University of Georgia. And you bought that to say, well, my diploma is going to be here eventually. I might as well go ahead and buy it now. And, Rennie, for me, what that reminds me of are all the things in my life that I've sort of challenged myself to do, and yet – do I really believe I'm going to be capable of doing them? You kind of put your money where your mouth was in terms of buying that frame. And for me, that's one of my favorite parts about your story. And I was hoping you'd tell us a little more about that right now.
Oh, yeah, man. It just kind of hit me, like you said, as I was walking through the bookstore. And at that time, I was nowhere near finishing my degree. I still had like a year and a whole bunch of classes left. But that was kind of just a contract that I put in place for myself. To really just get it done, man. And once I had that degree, the degree frame is just like obligating me. Every time I saw it, I'll keep it at my parents' place. And it was just a constant reminder that, hey, you need to get this done. And, hey, it's tough right now, but one day that degree is going to be in there. So it just really put even more emphasis on like my vision and just making it real. So I think anytime you do something like that, whether it's having a picture up on a wall, or a goal sheet or anything like that, that just constantly reminds you of what you're trying to accomplish and what the end goal is going to feel like. Like, it's going to push you that much further towards accomplishing it. So that was just kind of what was behind me buying that. And like I said, now it's about to come to reality.
And I know that, these type of stories, the kind of things that you tell often, I was looking at your Twitter feed, you've really been doing a lot of public speaking lately. I'm sure that the message that you deliver when you speak publicly is kind of a lot of the stuff you're talking about right now, that, challenging people to do either what they think they can't do or maybe what they've been putting off doing for a long time. I imagine that's part of the message that you're delivering to people when you're out speaking in public these days.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, man. I love talking about overcoming adversity aspect, because that affects so many people, whether you're a high school student, a young child trying to achieve a dream, or you're an older person who's trying to, reach your business goals, or, you're on a sales team, whatever it is. People face so many challenges in life and just need that extra boost, that extra encouragement, and sometimes just a change in perspective. And then, besides that, I love talking about the branding aspect, personal branding, because that affects a lot of people as well, especially for me being an athlete, having to go from that world of just devoting my whole entire life to football to now transitioning into being a businessman, a speaker, all those things involve, the right brand, the right mindset, and all those things. So I love just anything that I can use to help people reach their fullest potential. That's usually what I talk about in my messages, and I love it, man. To me, getting ready for a speech and then getting out there on a stage and delivering it is just like me being, back on a football field, just that rush that I feel before I get up there and making an impact and all those things. So, yeah, that's something I want to do for life.
And a lot of people may not realize this. I know we've talked about this before, but we may have new listeners that are not aware. You actually are an author of a book. You wrote a great book called Free Agent that kind of touches on some of the same kind of stuff about transitions, both for you in terms of trying to find that new team to play for, but there's also a carryover as well for people trying to find that next job or that next chapter of their own life, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's definitely something that's a main theme of the book, is just how to handle adversity and then times of transition, because I don't care who you are, what age you're at, you're always constantly going through transition. Like, I spoke back at my high school yesterday for their baccalaureate service, and I just looked at all those young kids getting ready to go to college. They're free agents. They're kind of in that no man's land place where they're battling with the fear of the unknown. And, it takes certain intangible assets to really master those transitions and come out on the other side of it as a success. So that's what I talk about in the book, just not only going through those times of transition, but also really realizing what matters most in life. When you sometimes lose a lot of those things that you're used to, you lose that job, you lose that relationship, or somebody who's close to you, really always puts things back into perspective of how important things like relationships, your family, and your faith are. So those are a lot of things I talk about in the book. Definitely not a book just about football or anything like that. It's really about life. And so I love writing that. And I also got another book coming out soon, so I have to come back on here and tell you guys about it.
Well, we would certainly love to do that, Rennie. Let me squeeze in one more question before we let you go. You obviously left Georgia after your junior season to go to the NFL, and for a few Georgia players, that was a big decision to make this past spring. Lorenzo Carter, Davin Bellamy, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, they all four decided to come back for their final season. For the Georgia fans who may be curious about just what that thought process was probably like for them, I mean, can you give us an idea about what they might have been thinking about as they were weighing what up to this point is probably the biggest decision they've ever made?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a very, very tough decision. I mean, as we all know, we all go to college so that we can eventually get a job. Like, that's the main goal, main objective is to live your dream. And so to have to, you know, sit through that situation, especially when you're a team captain and a main contributor on the team, it makes it put that much more pressure on you. So you have to look at, you know, do I go and do something for myself, or do I come back and do things for the team? And you know, it's a really, really tough situation for me. I was the captain. I had a lot of things going as far as being able to set records and do those different things, come back and get my degree. But at the same time, off the field, which is what a lot of fans don't think about, is I had a daughter. You know, I was a father, a single father. My family was struggling. My mom was paying all the bills at that time. It was really, really, really tough, you know, off the field. And so I had no choice, really. You know, as much as I wanted to stay, I really did think, made the move that I made for selfless reasons, you know, to just really go and be a provider and help my family, man. That's what it really came down to. That was the X factor. And, it's really, really not an easy scenario, however you put it. You know, it's like you can leave and you have to, there's a risk either way, is what I'm trying to say. So,
all right, great stuff there from Rennie Curran, the former Georgia linebacker. I really enjoyed that conversation. I'm sure you did as well. And I hear from so many of you from time to time who are so proud of, you know, not just Georgia players doing well on the field, but also really doing well in life. And, you know, really making the most of the opportunity they have, which is being connected to a great university like UGA. And certainly Rennie Curran embodies that in so many ways. It is great to have him here on Dog Nation Daily. And I thought that was a really fun conversation. All right, before we move on with the rest of the show, though, there are a couple other things from the weekend I kind of want to get to here. Two things that I thought were very interesting in very different ways. And, you know, later on today, hope you'll check us out on SEC Country Live. It's the show we do on the SEC Country Facebook page at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll show you both these videos. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, do Dog Nation Daily. You'll also see some of this right now. But Georgia, for two very different reasons, kind of connected to some viral videos over the weekend. Did you see the really fun video that Jake Fromm and his parents put out? Singing the country song, the Sam Hunt country song, and they're all kind of their moment. They're all kind of singing. Fromm kind of takes the screen to himself. He's kind of singing here, and I don't know. There is something about this video, and many of you have seen it. If not, you can actually click into dognation.com. You can check that out there. But there is something about this video, or really a few things, that I find incredibly entertaining, incredibly fun. First of all, here is Jake Fromm, who is about as big a celebrity in the state of Georgia as an 18-year-old kid can be. I mean, every Georgia fan knows what he looks like, has seen him, you know, written about at DogNation.com a million times. You've seen him on TV. You've seen him all over the internet. And yet, riding down the road with his family, he's sitting in the back seat like any other 18-year-old kid would do. And I guess you'd say, what do you expect him to do? His mom's in the front seat. His dad's driving. Where do you expect him to sit? But there's something about, you know, the 18-year-old kid that when you get to be as well-known as Fromm gets to be, you sort of forget that, yeah, to his parents, he's still just their son. And when they're going down on the road and the trip together, he just still sits in the back seat. There's something about that I think is kind of funny here. The other thing about the video that I, you know, just can't help but remark about, can't help but make mention of, is the fact that, you know, singing this country song, all-American family, parents singing along, smiles on the face for everybody having a good time. It just shows you kind of like what a sort of perfect embodiment of a Georgia kid Fromm is. And when you think about Fromm's popularity, and one of the oldest cliches in the book is the backup quarterback's always the most popular player on every football team. And that's certainly true, probably in Fromm's case. He's one of the most popular players at Georgia already. But in his specific instance, his popularity is not just based on, you know, the fact that he's the backup quarterback and there's expectations for him and he's sort of a sight unseen product right now. He also sort of looks like Georgia fans, right? The country music. You know, you see him on social media all the time. He's always fishing. I mean, he's just sort of the perfect embodiment of a Southern kid. And that's going to make him very, very popular as he sort of goes through his Georgia career. And there's ever that moment where, you know, hopefully this doesn't happen, but if there is ever that moment where you kind of veer in the direction of quarterback controversy at Georgia, hey, who should play? Is it Eason or is it Fromm? Chance that thing could get kind of testy with these Georgia fans who are going to look at Fromm and see a guy who just sort of looks like their background, the country music, the outdoor sports. You know, Fromm just looks like those guys in a lot of reasons, and that's going to make him very popular with a lot of Georgia fans here in the very near future. The other video that came out, and I have to say I thought this was very interesting too. So I guess Georgia now has a DJ turntable in the weight room. And I think this is a great idea. Now, I wouldn't have thought of this idea. I wouldn't have even, you know, thought to do this. But there's an element of this that I just think is really smart. I think this is one of those issues where, you know, if you're Georgia, you see how other schools find a way to kind of get into the news during the off season for a lot of different ways. You know, Clemson's putting a putt-putt course into its updated football facility, and you get a lot of attention for that. Jim Harbaugh takes the Michigan team to Rome, and you get a lot of attention for that. And what you realize is that attention is currency. And if you're an older guy, say older than me maybe, you may look at a lot of this stuff and say it's silly. And it's very easy to kind of say, well, the weight room's for working out. If you want to have a DJ turntable, go to a dance club. But listen, that's so short-sighted in comparison to what college football is really like in 2017, where players want to feel like they're part of something big and part of something fun. And the way that you generate the idea of having fun is by getting a lot of attention for your program during the offseason. So from that standpoint, Georgia kind of following the footsteps of what other programs are doing, I think is only smart. Hard to draw a line between a DJ turntable and winning a battle for a recruit. It may not necessarily be a straight linear line, but it doesn't mean the two things aren't connected as well. Things like this make people want to play at Georgia, and people wanting to play at Georgia is never a bad idea. There's plenty more Dog Nation Daily coming up right after this.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, really good stuff from Rennie Curran. Glad to have him on Dog Nation Daily. Really enjoy hearing his story. And, of course, we'll look forward to hearing plenty more from Rennie Curran in the months ahead and the years ahead, I'm sure, because that guy's got a great life coming here even after football. The thing that made him famous, he may be well known for something else before it is all said and done. All right, time now for our SEC Through. It is brought to you by SECCountry.com. And speaking of SECCountry.com, of course, make sure you check out SEC Country Live 3 p.m. Eastern time today on the SEC Country Facebook page. I'll do that with the former Alabama All-American Mike Johnson, and we'll look forward to having you with us for that. And I'm pretty sure that one of the stories that we'll kind of get into and talk a lot about, you know, I showed you the Georgia over-under season win total to start the show today. On SEC Country Live, I know we'll talk a lot about the other SEC season win totals. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and show you some of those right now, kind of what Vegas CG Technology in particular thinks about some of the rest of the SEC. First of all, Alabama, the highest total, not just in the SEC, but in the entire country. They're 10.5, their season win total. You actually have to risk even more money to bet the over on that. So Vegas likes Alabama a lot, as you might imagine. LSU's second highest total in the SEC. They are at 9. Auburn joins Georgia at 8. Then you get to Florida that's also with Georgia at 8. But you see that minus 120 for the under. What that means is that Vegas thinks while they're going to set the over-under at 8, they think the under is more likely. So you have to risk a little more if you want to bet the under. You get to Tennessee at 7.5. Also, you have to risk a little more to bet the under there. So Vegas sees them as probably more likely a 7-win team than an 8-win team. Then you get to Arkansas at 7, Missouri at 6.5, Kentucky at 6, and then the two bottom totals of the schools that were given, not all SEC schools were given. You have Mississippi State and South Carolina, two teams at 5.5. A couple things I want to get to on this. I think that under on Alabama, as crazy as this might sound, I think the under right now is a pretty smart play. I just don't think that you can't win 11 games in the regular season each and every year. And this year, the Alabama schedule is coupled with, you know, both SEC opponents, even though the SEC was down last season, but it's still an SEC schedule, coupled with a Florida State game out of conference. That's enough for me to believe that Alabama's going to find a second regular season loss. I know it may make sound like a fool later on, but I'd go under the Alabama 10.5. I don't think LSU is the second best team in the SEC. I think it's ridiculous that their over-under total is listed above teams like Auburn and Georgia. I think both Auburn and Georgia can be better than LSU this season. I understand where this is coming from. It's the previous track record, and even though LSU's changing over to a new coach, just like Georgia, that previous track record for LSU still matters. But there is no quarterback in Baton Rouge, and there is no quarterback that's going to be found here over the next few weeks. A team without a quarterback playing a tough schedule, and by almost any metric, LSU's got one of the toughest in the country. I just don't see this LSU team finding 9 wins, and I don't have them in really the top 3 or 4 of my SEC overall. I think Auburn and Georgia having the same total is interesting. I think both Auburn and Georgia are going to go over that total, but it gives you an idea of kind of what the conversation is around both those teams right now. They're kind of dealing with the same number here. As I said, I've got Auburn and Georgia both ahead of LSU, and I really think that there's a chance that Auburn could be better than Alabama, at least in terms of winning that game head-to-head. Another argument for why maybe the Georgia season win total is too low is because of what CG Technology also says about the rest of the SEC East. Florida at just 8 with 7 more likely than 9. Tennessee at 7.5 with, once again, 7 more likely than 8. And then South Carolina at 5.5. So what Las Vegas in a roundabout way is trying to tell you about the SEC East here is this going to be another jumbled up division where the winner's likely not very good? But what are the odds of that being true once again? Frankly, I don't think that good. I think Georgia is in a position to be a top 25 team this season. And if you told me that Las Vegas was going to have Florida, Tennessee, and more of that 7-win category, and South Carolina, Kentucky barely cracking 6, then that feels like the kind of division that Georgia ought to be able to gobble up some wins in. Well, we'll see if it plays out that way. I do think it's interesting that Vegas here not showing a lot of respect for the Gators and the Vols, but in a weird way, that's kind of good news for Georgia. One more thing I want to get to here is Vegas has Mississippi State at just 5.5. Now, that's interesting given the fact that Georgia does play that game at home. When I mentioned in the video portion of our show a little earlier that, you know, there are a few games on Georgia's home slate that may actually be a little tougher when they're played than they currently look right now. This game against Mississippi State may be one of those. Nick Fitzgerald is a quarterback that's going to show up in some, at least of the longer preseason Heisman watch lists. His name's going to show up on there. He's going to get some consideration to be an all-SEC quarterback. And is there a chance that Mississippi State goes over that 5.5 number? I think there is a very good chance that it does. We'll make that your SEC through. All right, thank you so much for being here with us today on Dog Nation Daily. You know, I mentioned this in the video portion of our show a little earlier. We do Dog Nation Daily for 3 separate audiences each and every day. For our folks who watch us on Facebook Live, for the folks who listen to us on the radio, and of course, traditionally, what will always be for us, the place we started on podcast form, iTunes, DogNation.com, the like. And normally we try to keep the show as similar as we possibly can. Today I had to kind of split things up, do things a little differently for various audiences. So if you listen to us on the podcast, hope you enjoyed the interview with Rennie Curran. If you're only with us on video, hope you will check that out in podcast form to hear what the UGA linebacker who had such a great career in Athens is doing with his life now. Really good stuff from him. Also, hope you'll make plans to be with us the rest of the week here on Dog Nation Daily. A lot of really good stuff coming up. We'll talk to Seth Emerson on Wednesday. A couple times to hear from Jeff Sintel on some UGA recruiting. It's a busy time around Georgia. We're covering it all on Dog Nation Daily, and we'll see you again tomorrow.